So we're going to look at one verse from the Bhagavatam, carrying on with that, and then we'll speak about Advaita Acharya. And from the song, the fourth verse, my dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind. Please be merciful to me. If you're kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me. So it all begins today with trying to obtain the mercy of Advaita Acharya. And then naturally, Lord Nityananda and then Lord Chaitanya will be kind upon us as well. And we could definitely do with a lot of kindness and mercy. We're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 9, and today's text is 13 and 14. We've written 13 up, so we'll just recite 13. Okay, there's also text 14 with it as well. And the translation is as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he's all-pervading, because he is not under the influence of the element of time. For him, there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute, beyond relativity, he is free from all distinctions between cause and effect. Although he is the cause and effect of everything, that unmanifested person who is beyond the perceptions of the senses had now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with the rope. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 10.2, Krishna is described as the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. The word Brahma means the greatest. Krishna is greater than the greatest, being unlimited and all-pervading. How can it be possible for the all-pervading to be measured or bound? Then again, Krishna is the time factor. Therefore, he is all-pervading not only in space but also in time. We have measurements of time, but although we are limited by past, present, and future, for Krishna, these do not exist. Every individual person can be measured, but Krishna has already shown that although he also is an individual, the entire cosmic manifestation is within his mouth. All these points considered, Krishna cannot be measured. How then did Yashoda want to measure him and bind him? We must conclude that this took place simply on the platform of pure transcendental love. This was the only cause. Advaitam achyuti manade mananta rupam adhyam purana purusham navayovanam cha vedeshu dullabha madullabha matma bhaktu govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This is Brahma Samhita 5.33. Everything is one because Krishna is the supreme cause of everything. Krishna cannot be measured or calculated by Vedic knowledge. Vedeshu durlabham. He is available only to devotees. Adurlabham atma bhakto. Devotees can handle him because they act on the basis of loving service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yash chashmi tattvataha. Thus, Mother Yashoda wanted to bind him. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Trubhischa Kruva Sindhu Vaivacha Adhitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavindaki. So asking for all the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here, especially the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, so that I can elaborate something on this purport and then speak about Advaita Acharya equally. It's interesting that in today's purport we have the Brahma Samhita verse Advaita Machyuta Maitun. So Advaita Charya being mentioned there. So these verses are a long verse, two verses there in the purport as well. And now it's coming to the time. If we look at the next verse, which is Monday, it's immediately goes on to the fact that the rope was measurement of two fingers in width, too short every time. And so that begins the whole Damodar Leela from here. And how can we bind the Supreme Lord? Interestingly, we had just last year a series of classes from Shivaram Swami, from his book, Yashoda Janani, of this pastime, and going into great depth and detail as well. And today's verse, the next few verses, are really being summarized in the Damodar Ashtikam, as we know. And, the Damodar Ashtikam really is an integration of three items. It's prayer. Satyavrat Muni was a poet, so it's poetry. And it's song. So that's very interesting. That it combines, it's very powerful and very joyful way to channel our emotions towards Krishna, combining prayer, combining poetry, and combining songs. So those eight verses are that, really, in essence. If we look at them a bit more deeper, that's what they were. Today's verse, in trying to bind Krishna, he's everywhere, how do you bind him? And the next few verses, really, their purport is really bound not by the rope's length, but by the devotion's depth. That's the purport of the next few verses. Not bound by the rope's length, but by the devotion's depth. So that's an interesting way to look at that verse from the Damodar Ashtikam. I mean, of course, the commentaries on the gap of the two fingers, it speaks about metaphorically that you need two things, human endeavor to bind God, and equally you need divine grace or mercy. These are the two things. Human endeavor, that's up to us. But equally, how do you get divine mercy? Our endeavors, they can neither replace mercy nor force mercy to manifest. Because we may wonder, how do you get that mercy? How do I get that mercy? So we think, well, maybe our endeavors, can they replace the mercy? Can they force the mercy to manifest? And these verses are speaking on that. By endeavoring in a devotional mood, we can attract divine mercy. So that's the principle in the next few verses and in today's verse, that by endeavoring in a devotional mood, we can attract the mercy of Krishna. We can't force it, we can't replace it, but we can attract it. So that's an interesting principle within our lives. And so when Krishna was bound to the mortar, he pulled that mortar, very heavy mortar. And as the pastime continues, that he there were two Yamala Arjuna trees. And Yamala Arjuna trees are massive trees with very deep roots. You can't uproot them. That's the point of this pastime. You can't uproot those trees. And we know they were the demigods, Nalakuvera, Manigriva. But when Krishna went through them, generally the ropes should have broken. And that's what he was trying to do, break the ropes. But the ropes wouldn't break. And the commentators on these pastimes, they speak on the fact that the binding of Mother Yashoda was so strong that it uprooted the trees rather than break the rope. So the binding of love which existed there. So what happened there, of course, is that Balaram came to have a look, and he tried to release Krishna. He said, "Let me try and release you from the," and he couldn't do it. He couldn't unbind him because Mother Yashoda's love, her binding was so strong that no one could undo it. So he said, "Let me go and speak to Mother Yashoda." So he went, and when he got there, and he said, "So I've come to speak to you. I want to let you know." And Mother Yashoda was listening and wondering. He said, "Do you know who Krishna is?" And, of course, this purport is about that. And then Mother Yashoda said, "No, who is he?" And Balaram said, "He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the avatars and incarnations, Ram, Narsingha, Vamana, they all come from him." So Mother Yashoda said, "Really? And then who are you?" You know, two of her sons, so she knew. Sons are always having lots of stories, as sons always do and daughters do, who they are, who they could be. So she said, "And who are you then, Balaram?" And of course he plainly and truthfully said, "I am the first expansion." And ultimately when all the incarnations, they appear, they come from me. I am the source of all the incarnations. Somebody Yashoda is listening to all of these things. Then she said, "All the incarnations, they had to be born just in my family and no one else in Gokul." So she said, "You better run before I bind you as well." Because she said, "You better unbind Krishna. He's God. You can't leave him tied up." And she said, "Well, you better run. I'm getting my stick to chase after you." Of course, Balaram runs off and he comes and sees Krishna and she says, "I couldn't do anything. I tried my best, but she's too powerful. She's bound you with her love and I can't convince her any other way." That's an interesting, and really, in the Damodarashtakam, Iti Driksha Leela Bir Ananda Kunde, that really is, it's the advertising of the Damodar Leela. And what's that advert? What's the product? Bhakti. It's advertising the product. And what's our product? It's bhakti. And, you know, we're all trying to establish relationships with so many people in this world, with so many circumstances. And in this verse, iti driksva lila bir ananda kunde swagosham nimajantam akyapayantam. Krishna is saying that why don't you just establish a relationship with me instead? I won't let you down. The others may have, but I won't let you down. And you can also bind me just like Mother Yashoda. So this is the advert of the Damodarashtakam. That so many relationships we've had, they may have been good, bad, whatever, so much may have happened, but I'm telling you now, you develop your relationship with me, nimajantam, akyapayantam, and you can bind me equally. So these verses of the Damodarashtakam are there, and we carry on from those verses, and today, is the appearance of Advaita Acharya. So we can think a little bit about him. Some ontology first, perhaps, followed by some leela, as we'd say. Ontology means who is Advaita Acharya? And today's very sacred day, as we read from that song, Narottam Das Thakur, he's speaking, that by the mercy of Advaita Acharya, you will get the mercy of Gauranga and Nityananda. When the first four chapters of the Adilila, they focus on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next three chapters, they discuss his four close associates, the Panchatattva. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, the secretary of Lord Chaitanya, he was the first person to identify the five personalities as a unit, known as the Panchatattva. These five manifestations, they appear with every incarnation of God, the Panchatattva. So Kaviraj Goswami, in his Mangalacharana prayer, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela, and this verse is also quoted of the five aspects of the Absolute Truth, the five forms in which Krishna manifests himself. And everyone knows that verse. Anyone? Yes. Pancha Tattva Makam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktyakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So these five aspects, the five aspects of truth of God, just behind us here, the big picture that we always see. So Bhakta Rupa, beginning with Pancha Tattva Makam Bhakta Rupa. So this is the form of a devotee. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Bhakta Swarupam. This is Nityananda, the expansion of a devotee. And then today's appearance day is all about Bhakta Avataram, which means Advaita Acharya, which is the topic for today, the incarnation of a devotee. So this is very elaborately explained in the Mangalacharana there. And then the last two, Bhaktyakyam, which is Srivas Thakur, the pure devotee, and Bhakta Shaktikam, which is Gadadhar Pandit, devotional energy. So these five principles, the Panchatattva together, they spread love of God everywhere. They're very merciful. And it's only by invoking their mercy that we can obtain Radha and Krishna. We're always praying to Radha and Krishna every morning. We're chanting to Radha and Krishna, which is the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is Radha and Krishna. So before we try to invoke the mercy of Radha and Krishna, we chant the Pancha Tattva Mantra, hopefully, to invoke the mercy. So that's the whole purport of this verse, Pancha Tattva Makam Krishnam. That how do we obtain the mercy of Radha and Krishna? By first obtaining the mercy of the Pancha Tattva. So Kaviraj Goswami, he explains that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, five elements of the Pancha Tattva, three are Prabhus and the other two are not Prabhus. Srivas Thakur, as I just explained, is the principle of the devotee. Is Narad Muni, of course, as we know. And Gadadhar Pandit is the halo of Srimati Radharani. The first three are in the category of Prabhu. There is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu. But Kaviraj Goswami, he says that one is Mahaprabhu, and the other two are Prabhu. Although they are in the category of being God, they are all the Supreme Lord as well. So one is Mahaprabhu and the other two are Prabhus. So all the three are God as such. They're Vishnu Tattva, sometimes called Prabhu Tattva. But amongst them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's special because he is Mahaprabhu. And we'll hear more about him as we come up to Gopanim. He's the origin of everything. He's not avatar, he's avatari. He's the same Krishna who appeared 5,000 years ago. So both Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they appear, they advent to serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And they want to render service unto him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't want to accept this service because they're older than him. And he says, anyone that's older than me, I can't accept service from them. Both of them are older than me. But he considers them their superior. But still, of course, Saradamada Goswami, he explains further that each member of the Panchatattva is an embodiment of the shelter of Krishna. So he says, The Advaita Acharya, he's known as Pancharatrika Vidhi Ashraya. Ontology going on. We're all falling asleep now. Get to the Leela very shortly, I think, on that side. And what does it mean with this is that Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya would worship Lord Chaitanya with great feeling of devotion. He would follow all the rules and regulations very perfectly in Krishna consciousness. And just in looking that up today, I was looking through the folio. And you know, there are so many rules and regulations we have. We have the four regulative principles. Rupa Goswami speaks about the 64 ways we can serve Krishna. We have Vaidhi, Sadhana, Bhakti. And Advaita Acharya, he was the perfection of these items. Why? Because all of these rules and regulations, they're summarized by Rupa Goswami very simply, Smartavya Satatam Vishnur, which means the golden principle is, anyone? Always remember Krishna and never forget him. And Advaita Acharya, he was the perfection of this principle. So if we want to always remember Krishna and never forget him, it said that we should worship Advaita Acharya because he personifies that principle of remembering. So today we can pray to Advaita Acharya that please be kind upon me. Let me, like you, 24 hours, you could not forget Krishna. So I want to be the same. So that's our, Surabh Damodara Goswami says, that's our meditation today. That's our prayer today, that we can concentrate and focus on this. Advaita Acharya, of course, is an incarnation of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. And he's on par, as I mentioned, with the personality of Godhead as well. And if we look at it, he appeared 52 years before Lord Chaitanya appeared. A long time. We always think of him, okay, looks elderly, but he was 52 years older. And he appeared in a village north of Sylhet. He was from a Brahmin family. And he appeared on the seventh day of the bright fortnight in the month of Magh, which is today. And it's 1433 AD that he appeared in. And the name of the village was Lauda in Srihatta. So he appears on that side. His father was, anyone? I know because I just read it up, but I wouldn't know either probably. Kuvera Pandit. And Kuvera Pandit, who was he? He was none other than, of course, the demigod Kuvera as well. And it's interesting because Kuvera is the head of the Guhakas, isn't he? Guhakas, the ghosts, the goblins, all of that. He's in charge of all of them. So it's interesting because Lord Shiva, Advaita, it's all that connection. They all come together. And his mother's name was, anyone? She's known by two names, Nabha Devi, also known as Labha Devi. Both are there. Both names are given. And now in Bangladesh, if you go, this place where Lord Advaita Acharya, he appeared, we have a ISKCON center there. By the grace of Advaita Acharya, we've managed to obtain that place. So it's described that before Advaita Acharya, he appeared, Kuvera Pandit, he'd performed many, many austerities to please Lord Shiva. And that's Sadashiva. And after a very long time, it's said that Lord Shiva appeared before him. And he said, what boon do you want? And Kuvera Pandit said, that I want a son just like you. And Lord Shiva said, well, it's not possible to have a son like me, but you can have me. So I will appear as your son. So Sadashiva, he appears as the son of Kuvera. That's what Advaita Acharya. And there's another account given that Nabha Devi, she had a dream. And in that dream, Lord Shiva, he was crying. He was having a vision of the age of Kali. And he saw that in the age of Kali, there was no hope for anyone. So he went to the shore of the milk ocean. And there he prayed to Mahavishnu. And he said that we have to do something to deliver all these individuals that are going to appear in the age of Kali. And there is no hope for them. So at that time, Mahavishnu became filled with great compassion. And he embraced Lord Shiva. So that form of embracing Lord Shiva, Mahavishnu appears as Advaita Acharya. So that's the dream that Namadevi had her son that would come in the future, that he was both an emblem of both of those items as well. At the time of Advaita Acharya's birth, he was given a different name. Anyone remember that name? As a clue, it was because of his eyes. Kamlaksha, lotus-eyed one, Kamlaksha. So one who has beautiful lotus eyes was the name given to him. A very intelligent person, of course. He'd mastered the Sanskrit grammar, Vedic scriptures, and he studied under the tutorage of his guru in the Vedas and in Sanskrit. His name was Sant Acharya. And Sant Acharya knew that Advaita Acharya is a very special person. So one day, he had taken his whole class out in that part of Bangladesh, Shalet side, and just to show them who Advaita Acharya was, there was a very big lake, and it was famous for very poisonous snakes. And no one would go into that lake. But right in the middle of the lake, there was an island with beautiful lotus flowers. So Sant Acharya said, I want Dakshina, and I want that lotus flower in the middle of the island. Who is going to go and get it? Of course, you know, everyone knew that this lake is full of poisonous snakes. There's no hope of swimming in there and coming back. So Kamlaksha said, I will go. And it's described that when, and all the students, hundreds of them, they were wondering, how is he going to get across the lake? As soon as he stepped on the lake, another lotus flower appeared. And he stepped on that. And as he put the next foot forward, another lotus flower appeared. And another one appeared, and all the way to the island. And they all realized, well, this is someone special. How is this going on? He collected the special lotus and he brought it back to Sant Acharya, who then explained to his whole class that this person is non-different from Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva. So everyone realized from that very early on period that Kamlaksha was a special person. And there are some early stories of him as well, which were given by... in a few books, Advaita Prakash, that when Kamlaksha was very young, his father, he was the minister or the pundit to the king, Kuvera Pandit. He was the pundit to the king, so he was the secretary. And the king was very well known because he worshipped the goddess Kali. So the king's son challenged, what was a friend of Kamlaksha, he said, come and see the goddess. Come and see the goddess. And in the temple. So Kamlaksha, he didn't want to go, but finally the king's son forced him. And Kamlaksha, he was a Vaishnava. He said, I do not worship the goddess. Who is this goddess? So anyway, finally they arrived in the temple of Kali, the king's temple, in Kamlaksha. He became very intense when the sons of the king said, you must bow down. He said, I will not bow down. And he became so intense in that period that the king's son, he fainted. And he lost his life. So, in bewilderment, Kamlaksha, he ran away because he didn't want to be in that place. The king arrived immediately with Kuvera Pandit, and he noticed his son was lifeless on the floor. So they found Kamalaksha, and they pulled him back in, and then he saw the king's son lying on the floor, and he took some Charanamrita, and he put 3 drops on the head of the king's son, and immediately he came back to life. So the king was shocked. He said, "This is someone very special." So then that story was going on in the kingdom. And then at another time, the king had come to the temple, and Kuvera Pandit had taken his son as well to the temple of Kali. And the king paid his obeisances to Kali, and Kamalaksha, he would not pay his obeisances. And his father also said, "This is the goddess Kali. She fulfills all desires. Pay your respects to him, to her." And he said, "I will not pay my respects." He said, "I cannot pay my respects to the goddess, because if I do, she will be destroyed." So the king said, "Immediately pay your respects." So he, upon paying his respects, the deity of the goddess Kali exploded. And there's a variety of renditions on it. One is that the goddess Kali appeared before the king and rebuked him and said, I cannot accept the obeisances of my husband. Do you not realize that?" Because Kamalaksha was none other than Lord Shiva. So she said, "I cannot tolerate that he has to pay his respects to me. Not possible." So she protested to the king. Of course, then from then on, they realized many, many things. But of course, just like in today's purport, Yogamaya, he's Krishna, he's being bound, but not being recognized as Krishna. So same here, Kamalaksha, they realized he was a special person, but equally they realized that he was just a boy, Kamalaksha as well. So the pastimes, they continue. Later on, that Advaita Acharya, he moves to Shantipur. And why does he move to Shantipur? Is because Kuvera Pandit was, his ancestral home is from Shantipur. That's why he comes there. And he used to come to Shantipur. And then he also has a house in Navadvip as well. Both places. Most of the time he would stay in Shantipur. Meanwhile, whilst he was in Shantipur, an amazing event occurred at that time. Anyone know what that might be? It can be many things, but there was one event that was very special in Shantipur. I think there are many, but specifically, before all of that, Madhavendra Puri, he arrived in Shantipur. And that, of course, is in our line as a very important part. Madhavendra Puri was on his way to look for the Chandan. And he'd come through the side roads. He was, because he was a sannyasi, and he would get approached by everyone, and generally they would, at that time the Mayavadis were very prevalent, so they would greet him as Om Namo Narayan. So he didn't want to be greeted as that you're God. So he took all the side roads to get there. So one of the side roads was coming through Shantipur. That's why he came through that. And when he arrived there, through the Ganga, he was looking for the pulp, the sandalwood pulp, for the Gopal deity. But Advaita Acharya, upon seeing a Tridandi sannyasi, was overjoyed. And he said, "Finally, I see a Tridandi sannyasi. Please, you come. You come and stay." So he stayed a few days. And during that time, Advaita Acharya requested him for initiation. And Madhavendra Puri, he performed the initiation ceremony and gave him the mantra. And of course, another one of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri is Ishwara Puri, who was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. So Advaita is the spiritual uncle. Spiritual uncle. So we can see from that side as well. So Advaita Acharya, he wanted the Supreme Lord himself to descend so that he can distribute love of God. So what did he do, of course, at Shantipur? He worships his shaligram, which was a Nrisinga shaligram, and he placed 8 tulsi buds representing the 8 manjaris, and he offered Ganga water. And that famous verse is there, isn't it? Simply by offering 1 tulsi leaf or tulsi buds and some Ganga water, the Lord becomes so indebted just by these 2 offerings that he becomes purchased. So based on that verse from the Puranas, Advaita Acharya thought, well, if the Lord can be purchased simply by these 2 items, let me do that right now. So his loud chanting, it pierced the coverings of the universe. And the Supreme Lord, he heard his prayers. And he said, yes, I will come, I will come. So Advaita Acharya, of course, he as I said already, an incarnation of Mahavishnu, as well as Lord Shiva. And it's interesting that Lord Shiva, he plays an important part. If you go to Vrindavan, you always find that he is the guardian of the Dham, isn't it? Dikpal, Kshetrapal, Mayapur, he's called Kshetrapal. So all of these places, he's the guardian. But there is the pastime that in Vrindavan, that Lord Shiva, he became very fascinated by the dealings of Krishna with the gopis, as you know, in the Rasa Leela. So he wanted to enter the Rasa Leela. And of course, that story is there where he becomes Gopeshwar Mahadev. He becomes Gopeshwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva. But in the Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, Kavi Karnapur, he explains that Lord Shiva also exists in Krishna Leela in another form of a cowherd boy. So Kavi Karnapur also speaks of that. So, and he says that one time, in that pastime which is given, that one time Lord Shiva, he saw Krishna and Balaram. And the other cowherd boys, they were dancing and enjoying themselves. So he thought, I want to be also a cowherd boy, just like he wanted to be a gopi. So he thought, I also want to be a cowherd boy. So then at that time, he assumed the form of a cowherd boy. And he joined Krishna and Balaram in their pastimes. So it's explained that that same Lord Shiva, who was the cowherd boy, he comes now as Advaita Acharya. Another explanation is given. Amazing multitude of explanations you can have. So that's another one that's given. Who is that Lord Shiva? It's actually the cowherd boy who is Lord Shiva. And he comes as Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, he had 2 wives. 2 wives. It's explained, Sri Devi. And as we had in the song today, Sita Devi. Sita Thakurani, we call her. So Sri Devi had 1 son. And Sita Thakurani had 5 sons. So a total of 6 sons that Advaita Acharya had. But of course, if you read the line in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 3 of them, they became Asara, 3 of the sons. They considered that Advaita Acharya, if you remember in the beginning, I said that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says that 3 are Prabhus, but 2 of them are Prabhus, but 1 is Mahaprabhu. But the sons of Advaita Acharya, 3 sons, they said, no, the Mahaprabhu is Advaita Acharya, not Chaitanya. So they started an Asara line. So Advaita Acharya, he rejected them. He rejected those 3 sons, and that line is rejected. And the upper Sampradayas, they begin long time ago. And 3 sons, they continue the line. And still the descendants are there if you go to Silet of that line. His line still exists from those three sons. Just like Nityananda Vamsa exists. Like these, all of these Vamsas, they do exist. So they're there. Advaita was 52, as I mentioned, when Lord Chaitanya, he appeared. Imagine that, he was 52 years old. And Lord Chaitanya, he stayed for 48 years. So Advaita Acharya was 100 years old when Lord Chaitanya left this world. And you know, if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, he was still young as ever. And when he was 80, he was still dancing with Lord Chaitanya in the Rathiyatra. And it's said that he stayed for another 25 years before he left this world. So Advaita Acharya left this world at 125 years. So that's interesting as well, that he lived that long life. There are many other pastimes which are given there. And one of the famous ones, of course, is how Mother Suchi offended Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was running a school of Sanskrit, and Lord Chaitanya's brother Vishwarup was going there. And Mother Suchi would send Nimai to go and collect him, although he was younger, with a tiffin, whatever. She would send him with items. And she was very frightened. She thought that what about this Advaita, if he takes both my sons and makes them into renunciates? And of course Advaita said, I would never do that. Of course he did in the end. Vishwarup, of course, he leaves home. So Mother Suchi became very distressed. And she says, in her mind she thought, that although his name is Advaita, single-minded, if you like, he's not Advaita, but he's Dvaita. Duplicity. He cheated me. So she had this item in her mind. So one time when Lord Chaitanya was giving his blessings and love of God in the house of Srivas Thakur, they said, please give love of God to Mother Suchi. And he said, no, she is an offender. Of course, he says. And they couldn't believe it. They said, how is Mother Suchi an offender? She cannot be an offender. So really our lesson there is interesting as well, that Vaishnava Parad, we don't take it lightly, that even if you're the mother of God, God will not forgive you. So I think that's one lesson from this pastime as well. And equally, of course, they said, well, how can she get love of God? She said, until she gets the dust from the feet of Advaita Acharya, I will not give her love of God. So they all went with Mother Suchi to Advaita Acharya's house. And they all said to Advaita Acharya, you must give the dust from your feet, because Lord Chaitanya is saying that Mother Suchi has offended you. And he became bewildered. And then Advaita Acharya started speaking the glories of Suchi Mata, and he carried on and on and on. And he went into ecstasy and he fainted in ecstasy. And then at that time, all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now Mother Suchi, quickly grab the dust from his feet. So she grabbed the dust from his feet. And Lord Chaitanya, when he saw that, he said, now I will give Mother Suchi the love of God. So these pastimes are there. And equally, it gives another lesson, isn't it, of the humility of both of those individuals. Mother Suchi, she defended him, but Advaita Acharya never took any offense. So that's another lesson from that we shouldn't take offense equally. Here in that pastime, Mother Suchi finally gets love of Godhead as well. There's another pastime as well, which is given, that one time Lord Chaitanya, he fell unconscious in ecstasy. So Advaita Acharya, he took the opportunity and he took some dust from his feet, from Lord Chaitanya's feet, knowing that, let me, you know, I'll get some dust now. But Lord Chaitanya, he awoke and he said, someone has stolen my Krishna prema. Someone has stolen my Krishna prema. And he ran and he jumped into the Ganga. And everyone, they arrived and they said, what's going on? And then everyone saw two circles because Lord Nityananda, he also jumped in the Ganga as well. And they could see two circles, and then, of course, they swam a kilometer away. They arrived at Nandanacharya's house, and they stayed there. And Advaitacharya, he was just crying and rolling in ecstasy because he'd received the dust from the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Another thing that Lord Advaitacharya, he always wanted to be subordinate to Lord Chaitanya, although he was much younger. But Lord Chaitanya would never have it. So that's another very important lesson for us, that even materially by age, we should respect those that are elders, as well as, but equally, the Chaitanya Charitamrita speaks about that not just simply by, someone is older, not just by years, but also by ears. How much they know, how wise they are. So both are given. You're respected according to your ears as well as your ear, how much wisdom you have. So both are given there as well. And he always wanted to be chastised by Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would never chastise him. And then Advaita Acharya came up with the plan. Anyone remember that plan? Yes, he said, I'm going to be teaching Mayavad philosophy, Vashishta lectures. He started his series of lectures to give Yoga Vashishta lectures. So finally, this news got to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and they heard that Advaita Acharya is teaching Mayavad philosophy now. Nothing infuriated Lord Chaitanya as Mayavad philosophy. So he arrived at the house of Advaita Acharya, and with a stick, he started beating this man who was 52 years older than him. And he was beating him and beating him, and Advaita Acharya would say, more, 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 beat me more. And Sita Thakurani said, don't beat him anymore, he's an old man, he will die. And he said, no, no, beat me more. So finally he said, I have defeated Lord Chaitanya. I have defeated Lord Chaitanya, finally. And he is treating me like a junior. And Lord Chaitanya said, never again lecture on Vashishta yoga anymore. And finally, Lord Chaitanya, he, if we remember, as we spoke already, that Lord Chaitanya only came external reason and internal reasons. So one of the external reasons which is given is the calling of Advaita Acharya. And Lord Chaitanya says that unless Advaita Acharya had personally called me, I would never have come. I would never have come. So today we can also request Advaita Acharya that you also pray for us, that Lord Chaitanya will enter into our hearts as well. And the pastime is there that Lord Chaitanya, during the Antya Leela, and I was just browsing through the compact Chaitanya Charitamrita, CC compact, Sutapa's CC compact. Very good. Very good before you give a class. So quick tip there. You can get all the pastimes in one go. And there he mentions of how that Lord Chaitanya said that I was requested to come by Advaita Acharya, and I can only leave if I have the permission of Advaita Acharya. So in Puri, when Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting the Gambhira Leela at that time, just prior to that, Swarup Damodara Goswami had brought a sonnet, a leaf with a verse on it. And it was there on the roof of Kashi Mishra's house. No one could understand this verse. except a few, Rupa Goswami, Saurabh Damodar, Ramananda Roy, they could understand this verse. And the verse was, the translation, not the Sanskrit or the Bengali of it, but the verse was that there is enough rice in the marketplace. So no one could understand, what is this? There's enough rice in the marketplace. Is it, you know, what kind of rice it is? You know, rice is a favorite item in Orissa. Is he talking about rice? So the verse was, there is enough rice in the marketplace. Everyone has plenty. And everyone has become maddened by Lord Chaitanya. So this was the verse. So only a few people could understand it. And what this verse meant is that Lord Advaita Acharya had said that now the marketplace is inundated by love of God. There's enough rice in the marketplace. And now everyone has become maddened like you with love of God. You came to give love of God. Everyone has love of God. Now I give you permission to leave. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya, he enters into the Gambhira Leela and he goes deeper and deeper into those pastimes and he leaves this world. So permission required. He said, I required that permission from Advaita Acharya. So these are all some pastimes we can remember on this occasion, all of us, of Advaita Acharya's appearance. As the song that we sung, we'll end on that, because next week we'll have the appearance of Lord Nityananda. Let us all close our eyes and look at this song and the translation of it. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kura More. My dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your lordship with these within the three worlds? Your incarnation is just to reclaim the condition fallen souls, but I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. My dear Lord Nityananda, you're always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, then I may also become happy. My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you're so kind, please be merciful to me. If you're kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me. Last two verses. O Saurabh Damodar, personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya, O six Goswamis, O Rupa Goswami, O Sanatan Goswami, O Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, O Lokanath Goswami, my beloved spiritual master, Narottam Das, also prays for your mercy. And finally, O Srinivasacharya, successor to the six Goswami, please be merciful to me. Narottam Das always desires the company of Ramachandra Chakravarti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Gaura Premanande.